Blog Talk Radio.
We interrupt this introduction with a special reintroduction. I've got a lot of explaining to do.
Welcome back.
You got some explaining to do, Lucy.
I'm back in the saddle again. Out where a friend is a friend.
We missed you, and we're glad you've come home.
And best of all, the Chatters. Best of all, the Chatters report. We're actually streaming live tonight. Well, that might last 3 minutes like last week. But anyway, more about that later. Good evening. Welcome to Erie House Oldie Timey Radio. I'm Dale Cave from Spook Show here along with
Dave Bigley from Weirdest Really Bad Movie along with
Who's Next?
Oh,
it is I. You are. Blah, blah to you all. There you go.
And greetings and felicitations, CW, with the skeleton keys to open up tonight's show.
Hey, thanks for letting us in, by the way. And let me explain that madcap intro. First of all right, our theme for this weekend is keys. And that little jingle, literally, was from a local television kids show called Mr. Jingling. Now, Mr. Jingling would come out in the afternoons right around Thanksgiving, and he was sort of like a Santa's helper guy, wasn't he, Dave?
Yes, he was a Santa's helper, and he held the keys to the kingdom, the Christmas kingdom, I think it was, and was on TV just basically from Thanksgiving to Christmas.
Yeah, it was, a half-hour show, and he would have different things and different presents. Cartoons, I think, from time to time as well. The other cool thing is when you went to see him live, you got a key from Mr. Jingling. And I still, my wife and I each still have our Mr. Jingling keys.
Information says his name was Earl Keyes, K-E-Y-E-S.
Yes. I think that was the original guy. There were a couple...
The original guy, yes.
A couple replacements and pastiches, if you will. But Mr. Jingling was cool, and he was the keeper of the keys. And, of course, the secondary intro, you know why that is, our old pal, our brother in slime, partner in slime, Gar the Ghoul returns. At last.
At last. Did you toss this out that the music and lyrics were created in 1956 by Marion Jacoby?
No, I did not know that. But if you wanted to see Mr. Jingling, where did you have to go, Dave?
You had to go to Hallie's downtown.
Where's precisely, Dave? Hallie's.
7th floor? Was it 7th floor
or
6th floor?
On Hallie's 7th floor was part of that jingle that we all us Clevelanders that are umpteen million gajillion years old are familiar with. And thought we'd throw that in to tie into our topic.
He was on TV, though, as well, as live events, yes?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, cool. Cool.
The live stuff was to weasel the kids into Hallie's and get their parents to not only see Santa, but to see Mr. Jingling and hawk more toys.
Ah,
and Christmas and Christmas cheer, of course.
Pony up for
the
more toys, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
So did he run his program all throughout the year or just around Christmas?
No, just from basically from Thanksgiving to Christmas.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he was definitely a Christmas feature locally. And that's the only period that he would run. But us kids couldn't wait until Mr. Jingling came back on.
So this guy got quite a bit of steam by just showing up for Thanksgiving and Christmas. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. So he would be a local area celebrity, yes?
Yes, exactly. Yes. Very much like your sailor, what is his name, Sailor Bob?
Like Sailor Bob. Yes.
Sailor Bob.
Sailor Bob Bowman by... a lot of horror hosts in the past used to do more than just be on the internet. They'd be at a shopping center signing stuff. And this,
Yeah, a lot of kids want to see Mr. Jingling.
Well, I want to toss a little hello to good old Bob and the Frog's Bane. Blah, blah, to you both. My voice is still rough, but I'm here.
Oh, I'm
glad
we are here.
Yeah, and the man is soldiering up tonight. And thanks for coming back, Gar. He was concerned. Dave's got a bunch of stuff going on, so he may be in and out. Blog Talk may be in and out, so who knows? Maybe I won't be here.
Well, there you go.
Go ahead, CW.
Oh, no, I was just going to say the representative that was kind enough to respond to Dale, Mandolin.
Yes.
How shall we? Yeah. Hello, Mandolin.
Hello,
Mandolin.
Yep.
So what was that response you got from the email from them about your the live link there in the chat, Dale?
They did not respond to that part. They just said, we fixed it so your listeners can listen now. Pretty much.
Oh, okay.
In tech speak. They said it in tech speak.
And that was sent to you by who?
Mandolin. Mandolin.
Mandolin? I think she was playing you, Dale.
Oh, Jesus. Why? Hey,
it works better in rehearsal. Yeah.
Maybe it was. You folks here in the studio and Chatter's live with us right now, are you steamed about last week, Saturday, what happened? I'm steamed. And we feel we owe it to you to make it up to you. We really had fun. We thought we were at least recording. We had a load of fun Saturday for an hour and a half. And I don't want to say it's for nothing. It'll be the first time in the history of Erie House that we rehearsed because we're going to reenact the whole thing Monday night live right here. How about that? Monday.
I'll toss that sidebar would be possibly you might want to set up some type of a side program on your computer that will record when Blog Talk fails.
Yep.
Because it's hard to get lightning in a bottle, you know?
This is the first time that has happened, so we hope that it will be the last time that it happens. But
you wouldn't cross your fingers on that.
We're disproving the theory that you can't go back again. We can go back again. We will go back again. On Monday.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. So what can make it, great. If not, it'll be in the archive for you to make up for that other show, because I'm going to delete the other one, which still says it's processing, I believe, or is being processed and will be ready shortly. Don't hold your breath. I'm going to delete boy.
Yeah, Monday Monday, we're making up for lost time. How's that?
Yeah.
It's too bad we don't work with the script, though, I tell you.
I mean, for the money you pay to listen to us, we owe it to you.
There you go.
Yeah. If I ever make money off of something like this, it's the advertisers that are going to pay me. I never want my listeners to have to pay. I mean, if you've got the equipment, you should be able to listen to us for free. So there you go. That's my
right.
motto.
That's actually a clever breakthrough for computers users, is the fact that you can find your local area television station for free and watch streaming content of the local news.
Ooh, cool.
That's everyone down there.
Three programs about keys tonight. We got, what do we got?
Oh, gosh. We've got the Avenger. We've got the Whistler. We've got Jeff Regan.
We got the Poor Man's Shadow, Jeff Regan, which is another Jack Webb series, and the Whistler. Yep.
I thought you said Jeff Negan. I thought this was going to be a Walking Dead thing, especially with the Whistler, but I digress.
But you digress again.
It's a Walking Dead reference. Never mind. Where shall we begin this evening?
Wherever we like.
The untaped superhero, the Avenger.
What?
Yeah, we can go alphabetical order tonight, Dale. How's that?
Sounds good to me. Can start with a title that's very reminiscent of Mr. Jingling, the title Keys to the City.
Yes, indeed.
And this episode of the Avenger was probably show number.
You got it, guard.
Air date? I did. Yep. September 21st, 1945.
Right. Yep.
The Avenger, the road to crime ends in a trap that justice sets. Crime does not pay.
No, but the hours are good. So are the perks.
The Avenger, sworn enemy of evil, is actually Jim Brandon, a famous biochemist. Through his numerous scientific experiments, Brandon has perfected several inventions to aid him in his crusade against crime as the Avenger. Most remarkable of these inventions is the highly secret diffusion capsule, which cloaks him in the black light of invisibility. Brandon's assistant, the beautiful Fern Collier, is the only one who shares his secrets and knows that he is the man the underworld fears as the Avenger. And now, the Avenger and the Keys to the City.
Grimshaw.
Yes? What is it, Lloyd?
There are a few details I'd like to clear up with you before I leave. Can you spare me a minute now?
Of course, Lloyd.
Well, here, this is a daily schedule I made for you, covering all your appointments while I'm on vacation.
Fine, Lloyd, fine. Frankly, I don't know how I'm going to get along without you for 2 weeks.
Well, if you'd rather I didn't go, Mayor Grimshaw.
No, you've earned the rest, Lloyd. I want you to take it.
It's too bad that you can't come along, Mayor. After that bitter political campaign you've just been through, you probably need a vacation more than I do.
If I went away for a rest, my enemies would probably maneuver me out of office before I got back.
They certainly don't let up on you for a minute, do they?
No. That young district attorney, Michael Zane, is a fighter. He'll never forgive me for being elected.
Well, Zane and the ex-mayor were great pals. They worked hand in glove and everything. So, naturally, Zane wanted to see him reelected.
How long have you been weathering the political storms here at City Hall, Lloyd?
Oh, 15 years, Mayor Grimshaw.
15 years? Remind me to give you a medal when you get back. Now, let me see. What's on today's schedule?
Oh, plenty. Your new cultural movement gets underway today.
Oh, that.
At noon, you give the keys to the city to Roscoe Marbury, the explorer and lecturer.
Oh, yes. Well, the voters can't say that I'm not living up to my campaign promises. I promised them culturing, and I'm delivering it promptly.
Keys are in the top drawer of your desk, and here's the speech that goes with them.
Thank you, Lloyd. Now, you better run along, or you'll miss your train. Good fishing. And bring me back one of those famous Oakview trout. And so, Mr. Marbury, it is with great pleasure that I present to you the keys to our city. Even though they are but token keys, they will unlock the hearts and minds of our good citizens. I feel confident that you will find our city a most fertile field for the great cultural growth to which your whole life has been dedicated.
Thank you, Your Honor. I accept these keys with great pride, because I know they represent the great esteem with which your citizens regard a humble spokesman of the arts. I will begin my series of lectures this afternoon. I hope I may look forward to seeing all of you then. Thank you very much.
Gosh, Jim, that Roscoe Marbury is certainly a fascinating person.
Yes, he is. His first lecture was a great success, Fern. He held that audience spellbound from 2 o'clock to 4.
Well, he made me want to visit all those glamorous places he told about. It must be wonderful to travel all the time.
Well, it's not as wonderful as it sounds. Now, young lady, how about getting back to those reports we were working on before we went to the lecture?
Right, Jim. I'll get my book.
Oh, I'll take it, Fern. Hello?
Jim. Where the blazes have you been? I've been trying to get you since 3 o'clock.
Oh, I was at a lecture. What's the trouble, Inspector?
Well, there's been an explosion down here at the public library.
An explosion in the library?
Yes, some valuable books have been stolen. Get down here as fast as you can, Jim.
Well, here you are, Jim. This is the first edition room where the explosion occurred here.
Couldn't have been much of an explosion, Inspector. Everything seems to be intact.
The door was blown open, Jim, that's all.
Now, let me get this straight, Inspector. Your theory is that someone blew the lock on that door, entered this room, selected the 5 most valuable books from the shelves, and made his getaway down that back stairway at the end of the hall.
That's it, Jim.
Who had access to this room?
Only the custodian. No one else is ever permitted inside this room. He's personally responsible for all these books.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. Well, let's have a look at the door.
All right.
Looks as if a small bomb or grenade was placed either on the doorknob or inside that lock.
That's the way I figured it, Jim.
Since the library was open at the time the explosion occurred, some of the librarians from downstairs must have come up here immediately upon hearing the sound.
Yes, 3 of them came on the run, but the thief was gone by that time.
All of which would seem to add up to one conclusion.
Well, I'm glad you agree with me on that, Jim. I think the custodian is guilty.
It would seem so, because if access to this room was gained by blowing open that door, only the man who knew where those books were placed on the shelves could find them and make his escape within the single minute that elapsed before the 3 librarians arrived on the scene.
Oh, that's how I reason it out. I think the custodian blasted this lock merely as a cover-up to make it look like a common robbery.
The time element completely rules out the possibility of an outside job. Only a person who had access to this room could have stolen those books.
Right. Now, even though this evidence is all negative, Jim, it's enough to make an arrest. Come on, let's find that custodian.
Jim, I'd almost given you up. Marbury's already begun his lecture in the adjoining gallery.
Why didn't you go in, Vern? I got held up at headquarters.
Oh, hasn't that custodian confessed yet?
No, and strangely enough, I'm beginning to doubt his guilt. However, since he can't furnish an alibi, we'll have to hold him for the time being. Well, shall we go in?
We'd better, if we want to maintain our social position. Everybody who is anybody is in there, the mayor, district attorney...
Come on, Vern.
Of course, with this great artist, technique remains...
There are 2 seats near the back, Fern.
...only a means to an end. Now, he is a great artist, not because of his ingenuity and disrespect for conventions, but rather because of the magnificent spiritual fire that makes his expression candent. Note the richness and depth of color in those portraits and figure compositions hanging there to your left. Now, these could never be called mere technical achievements of high order. They're neither stylized nor dated, and they never can be. The relentless hand of time can never touch them.
Keep your seats. Keep your seats, please, everybody. Please, keep your seats. Mr. Marbury, please continue with your lecture. I'm sure there is no need for alarm. I will inform the police immediately, and this matter will be investigated. Come on, friend.
Was anyone injured in this explosion, Jim?
No, Inspector. It parallels that library explosion exactly.
Yeah. The lock on this vault was blown just like the other.
That's right.
What's missing, Jim?
Now, you'd better hold onto your hat, Inspector. Dr. Harbaugh, the curator, reports that three priceless paintings are gone. He's preparing a full description of them now.
Well, Jim, this second robbery proves we're up against a professional thief. Yeah, we made a big mistake about that library custodian.
Well, one thing is certain anyway. He didn't pull this job.
Any ideas, Jim?
Yes. This vault door was blown from the inside out. That definitely establishes the fact that the explosion is a cover-up and doesn't occur until after the criminal gets away. Now, this steel door tells a much straighter story than that wooden one in the library. Now, I'll take that lock down to my laboratory and give it a good going over.
Looks like we're in for some trouble, Jim. Here comes the mayor.
Look here, Inspector. These bombings in public buildings are beginning to look mighty suspicious.
Well, I agree with you, Mayor Grenshaw. Have you got any ideas that might help solve them?
That's your department. But offhand, I'd say these thefts are being committed deliberately to embarrass my administration and everything it stands for.
Well, that's carrying politics pretty far, Your Honor.
I don't think there's any limit to what the opposition will do to get me out of office. District Attorney Zane threatened he'd do it.
Take it easy, Mayor Grenshaw.
I won't take it easy. And you'd better not either if you want to keep your job. I'm giving you 48 hours to crack this case and deliver the criminal. And the bigger he is, the better I like it.
Inspector White speaking.
Inspector, this is District Attorney Zane.
Oh, yes, Mr. Zane.
I hear Mayor Grenshaw's riding you pretty hard on these robberies.
Yes, that's right. I don't mind admitting I'm up to a blind alley on both of them.
I understand. I want to help. If you like, I'll send several men from my office over to work with you.
Well, that's very kind of you, Mr. Zane, but right now I'm afraid I have nothing for them to do. If any leads develop, I'll certainly let you know.
Do that, Inspector. This is a nasty business. It's up to us to clean it up. The mayor's proved he's utterly incompetent. Goodbye.
According to the directions they gave us at the hotel in Oakview, Jim, we turn left at the next fork in the road, and the boathouse is a little beyond that.
Well, I certainly hope we find Cyrus Lloyd fishing out here, as they said, Fern. Otherwise, we've wasted some very precious time.
Jim, I simply can't understand why you're so eager to have a talk with Lloyd.
Neither could the mayor. He flatly refused to tell me where Lloyd was. I finally got the information through one of his clerks.
But Lloyd couldn't have had anything to do with those robberies in the city, Jim. According to the hotel manager up here, he's never been away from the hotel for more than 3 hours at a time since he arrived in Oakview.
Lloyd is on the inside of things at City Hall, friend. If these robberies are in any way connected with a political feud, I believe he's the man who can tip us off.
You think that's the motive behind these robberies, then?
Oh, I'm not quite sure yet, but I'm on the track of something that Lloyd may be able to explain. If he can, then this trip is really a shortcut to the solution of this case. You see, Fern, I picked up a minute but interesting piece of evidence when I examined that lock from the museum vault. Oh, there's the boathouse just ahead.
Oh, and that lone fisherman at the end of the dock must be Lloyd.
It is. Come on, Fern. Hello there. Catching anything?
Oh, no, it's you, Mr. Brandon. What are you doing up here?
Well, I'm after some information about those bombings and thefts, Lloyd.
Information? For me? Why, I've been up here in Oakview for 2 days.
Oh, I know that, but I thought you might be able to tell me who's trying to frame whom in City Hall.
Why, what do you mean by that, Brandon? If you're trying to insinuate that the mayor had anything to
do...
No!
My back! Ow!
Jim, catch him! He's falling off the dock!
Say Vern or Fern? I thought we were listening to Ernest T. Bass there. Or not.
I thought it was
Vern.
Vern.
Hi, Vern.
Vern. Vern. Vern was a V for victory or an F for foxtrot?
So. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. I can't figure.
Victory, I think.
Victory is ours.
Shall always be a wilting fern for me. There you go.
Yep. Victory is ours. We just got to convince everybody else.
Yes.
Whatever that means. I don't know. Good program.
I love the use of the dramatic organ music. Always a winner.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is.
It definitely dates the
mood.
Piece. Yeah.
The mood setter. Mood.
Mood.
A new somebody dropped into chat by the name of Duck_Northwest Media. I wonder if they're related to Mandy Lynn.
I don't think so. Duck Northwest Media has been joining us for the last few weeks here, and we're appreciative that he joins us, along with Fogs Bane and good old Bob and the rest of you.
Welcome, Duck.
The rest of you.
Absolutely. Welcome, welcome.
Yep. Anywho.
I'm liking this Avenger. Perchance the Avenger came after the Lamont Cranston, The Shadow. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yes. And the head writer for it was the guy, Maxwell Grant, the guy who wrote all the Shadow novels.
And Lamont Sanford came much, much later.
Much, much later.
He helped somebody find their glasses in the war.
He was just a big dummy.
You know?
Yeah,
that's
he's
right.
A dummy.
You big dummy. Yeah.
I love that show. It's Pluto has it periodically. I love it.
I don't know if you guys suffer with this, but I apparently have vision stuff going on, so I've got distance glasses, and I've got reading glasses, and I feel like Fred Sanford pulling out that drawer going, where the heck are my glasses? One works?
Yeah, he'd be digging out and pulling out about 30 different pair of glasses to find one that works.
Yeah. Well, they were all used glasses. They were glasses. Other people said, nope, don't need them, or they died or whatever. And so, but he kept them in a drawer. He's like, well, one of these works to help me out. CW, there's a good 10-year span between the two. Informations indicate that The Shadow debuted July 31st, 1930, whereas The Avenger popped in July 18th, 1941, a good 10 years later.
And from what I'm gathering, the Avenger was akin to what Batman was to Superman. Batman was just brilliant and daring, but no superpowers or any psychic powers. Whereas, of course, Superman was powerful son from Krypton, wherein Lamont Cranston had his...
Oh, Batman, Batman 2 does have a superpower. I beg to differ. It's called an unending supply of cash.
I count out to that.
they do attribute that Avenger with super strength. It says he was part Shadow and part Doc Savage. But I remember there was an Avenger in comic books. He had a fedora hat. And he had a big red cape, but he was more swashbuckling. I think he had guns on his side. I can't remember, but
that's very much like what the Shadow illustrations were of back in the day.
Right.
Yes.
Well, this guy had thigh holsters for his the guns.
Did he have a secret invisibility pill? I think not.
Yes. You're nothing.
He had a black light of invisibility, so he had a special flashlight. I don't know.
A special flashlight.
He blinded you so that way you couldn't see him.
That's my superpower.
Black light of invisibility.
I have a really strong flashlight.
And he has the ability to interpret thought flashes of other people. The heck is that about? Get out of my head, you weirdo.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
The hell? I say that a lot.
Get out of my head, you weirdo.
But you're just talking to yourself, Dale, when you say that. You know?
Well, yeah. When I'm feeling especially schizo, I say that a lot. Yeah. Get out of my head, you weirdo.
I cannot agree nor deny. That's what I say.
I think we had best continue with our episode. Who knew time would be a problem?
Diffusion capsule. My gosh, a secret diffusion capsule.
Who knew time would be a problem tonight? Let's get back to Keith.
There we go.
The Avenger.
Now back to the Avenger and the Keys to the City.
Oh, my back. Help.
Jim, catch him. He's falling off the dock.
I'll go in after him.
He's over there, Jim.
I see him.
Hurry, he's going down. Oh, Jim, here comes the car. I'll get help.
Stop, please.
What's the matter, Red?
Oh, come over here quickly. Someone's in the water. We need help.
All right, just a minute. I've got some rope here in the car.
Hurry, Ranger.
Come on. Where'd he fall?
Well, out here at the end of the dock. Jim, are you all right?
Yes, I've got him.
All right, here's a rope. Grab on to it and I'll pull you in.
Okay.
Let me help you with the rope, Ranger.
We'll pull him in alongside of the dock here. Water shallow there.
Yeah.
Pull hard now.
I am.
All right. There. All right, does it? Now they're safe. Let's go down and help them in. Hey, one of those. Oh, they're in bad shape.
Jim, is Lloyd all right?
I'm afraid not, Vern.
All right, here. Let me give you a hand with him. We'll put him here down the bank. Give him artificial respiration.
I think he's dead, Ranger. He was shot in the back before he fell into the water.
What?
That's right. We were standing here talking to him when somebody shot him.
He's dead, all right. Bullet wound in the left shoulder. Well, come along, stranger. I have to deliver you to the sheriff in Oakview.
Oh, just a minute. We had nothing to do with this man's death. I'm Jim Brandon. I'm connected with the police department. Here are my credentials.
I don't care who you are. You're coming with me.
Listen, Ranger, let's not waste time arguing. There's a murderer on the loose around here someplace.
That's right. Come on, before I get tough about it.
Fern, drive back to the hotel and call Inspector White.
All right, you don't. This young lady's coming along, too. You're both under arrest on suspicion of murder.
I'm getting worried. Do you suppose the inspector will come up to get us out of here? I'd hate to have to spend the night in this jail.
Now, don't worry, Fern. The inspector ought to be here any minute now. It's nearly 4 hours since we called him.
Do you think there's a possibility that he's cracked this case himself and is letting us sweat it out up here in the Oakville jail?
Now, Fern, don't start imagining things. The inspector's too smart to play a joke that would backfire on him in the future.
If only that stubborn sheriff would listen to reason.
Ah, here's the inspector now.
Oh, thank heaven.
Well, Jim, a fine mess you got yourself into up here.
Now, never mind that now. Did you straighten things out so we can go?
Sheriff gave me the key to let you out.
Oh, I thought you'd never get here, Inspector.
Well, first I tried to get District Attorney Zane to call the sheriff up here and iron things out, but he refused to get involved. Acted like he was glad to get rid of you, Jim.
No doubt. Come on, Inspector. That murder trail is getting colder by the minute. That's right, Inspector. Lloyd was standing there where you are when he got that shot in the back.
Well, then the shot must have come from across the lake, Jim.
Yes, and that means the range was 1,000 yards.
Well, I'll be...
Only a cracked shot with a telescopic lens on his gun could make an accurate shot at that distance.
Well, that ought to narrow down our list of suspects. Tell me, Jim, who knew that you were coming up here to question Lloyd?
Well, Inspector, it was no secret. The mayor and practically his whole office staff knew it.
Which includes a few of the D.A. stooges, if you want to put any stock in rumor.
That's right. Oh, by the way, Fern, when you called Mr. Marbury to cancel our luncheon engagement, did you mention where we were going?
I'm not sure, Jim. I think I did, though.
In other words, Jim, anyone even slightly interested in your activities could have found out that you were coming up here.
I'm afraid so, but that's not what's worrying me now. Inspector, do you realize that we've only about 20 hours left to track down our criminal? Otherwise, this case will wind up your career as a police inspector.
Come in, Brandon. Miss Collier. Sit down, please.
Thank you, Your Honor.
That was a terrible thing that happened to Lloyd. I'll miss him badly.
Mayor Grenshaw, may I come straight to the point? I want to ask you a few questions.
Of course. Fire away, Brandon.
How long have you known Cyrus Lloyd?
Just since I took office. He was a party secretary here at City Hall. But I'd never met him until I was elected mayor.
Did Lloyd have access to the city keys?
Yes, I suppose so. The keys are kept in a small safe right over there. I suppose he knew the combination.
May I see the keys, Mayor Grenshaw?
Well, it's an unusual request, Brandon.
I understand your reticence, Mayor, but I'd like to have a look at them. You can call it a request from the police department.
Well, all right. I'll get them.
The mayor doesn't seem to trust you, Jim.
He makes that rather evident, doesn't he?
Well, frankly, I don't trust him either.
Quiet. Here he comes.
Here are the keys, Brandon.
Oh, thank you. I see they're all labeled.
Oh, yes.
This one is for the library. This, the museum. One for the municipal center, the citizens' swimming pool, and this last one for the city hall vault.
Excuse me. Yes, Miss Kirby? Who? Oh. All right. Send him in. It's Marbury.
Marbury?
Have you finished with the keys, Brandon?
Oh, yes, thank you.
Put them right back in the safe. If anything should happen to these keys, I really would be in trouble.
What's all this about the keys, Jim?
I'll tell you later, Fern.
Well, glad to see you, Marbury.
Good evening, Your Honor. Collier, Mr. Brandon.
Good
evening, Marbury.
I can only stay a moment, Mayor Grenshaw. I'm on my way to the lecture.
The last one of the series, isn't it?
Yes, I'll be leaving tomorrow. I'm really sorry you've made me most welcome here. But the purpose of this visit is to ask you a favor.
Of course.
Well, I seem to have misplaced the keys to the city you gave me when I arrived. Either that or they've been stolen.
Don't worry about that, Marbury. Those keys were only cardboard, covered with gilded tin. Nobody would steal them.
Well, that's what District Attorney Zane told me.
Zane?
Yes, he was visiting me at my hotel when I discovered they were missing.
Well, think nothing of it.
Well, in that case, I wonder if you'd give me another set, just to keep as a souvenir.
Well, certainly. We've dozens of them. I'll have another set brought in right away.
Jim, I can't understand why you wouldn't attend Marbury's lecture tonight. The subject was no tigers in Africa, and I thought
it would...
Well,
Fern, we had more important work to do.
What? Just standing here on the street corner waiting for the district attorney to go into his house?
That's right. I think we've given him time to retire now. You wait for me here, Fern. This shouldn't take more than 10 minutes.
What are you going to do, Jim?
Turn the tables on the DA. I'm going to fire some questions at him as the Avenger.
And you can accuse me to my face. There. Now, what? Where are you? Who spoke to me? Why, there's no one here. I must have been having a nightmare. Oh, I guess I need a rest. My nerves are shot. The keys to the city. Some dream.
Jim, I think you had a sour hunch this time. It's almost 2 a.m. Nobody's showing up here at City Hall to rob that vault yet.
Now, be patient a little longer, Inspector. Fern, why don't you go home? It's past your bedtime.
Oh, not me. I won't be able to sleep a wink until I find out who the criminal is.
Well, who are you expecting, Jim, after all?
Shh, listen. Someone's coming. Now, remember, Inspector. Wait until after he comes out of the vault and nab him. We want to find out what he's after in there.
Right.
He's inside the vault now.
Who is it, Jim?
You'll find out in a minute. Have you got your gun ready, Inspector? He's dangerous.
I'm all set for whatever comes, Jim. When he comes out, you turn on the lights and I'll cover him.
He's coming now.
Ready.
Okay, reach you, and reach high, or I'll shoot.
Why, it's Mr. Marbury.
And for once, he's absolutely speechless.
Okay, Marbury, your next lecture is scheduled for the jury. Come on.
That shot fell far short of the target, Fern.
Oh, gosh, Jim. 1,000 yards is some distance, even with a telescopic lens.
Well, Marbury was a crack shot, and he'd had lots of experience hunting big game, as he so unwisely admitted in several of his lectures.
Oh, I hope I have better luck with the fishing. I promised the mayor a trout.
Oh, want me to bait your line?
Yes, please. Jim.
Oh, all right. What do you want to know, Fern?
Well, I know the first clue that led you to suspect Marbury was that small piece of gilding you discovered under the microscope. When you examined that museum vault lock.
Yes, I figured that came from the keys to the city Marbury had.
But what made you think there was a connection between Marbury and Lloyd?
I wasn't sure there was a connection, Fern, until Lloyd was shot. That proved he was implicated and knew too much.
Lloyd was the one who arranged it so that Marbury was given a real set of keys?
Well, that's right. However, we didn't find the piece that was missing from the puzzle until last night when we saw the papers Marbury had stolen from the City Hall vault. They were the records of a crime he had committed 20 years ago. Lloyd had discovered that secret and bargained with Marbury. The books and paintings in exchange for the records.
Then Marbury shot Lloyd in panic for fear he might talk before he had a chance to get those records.
Right, Fern.
But how did it happen that you found the keys to the city in District Attorney Zane's pocket?
Marbury planted the keys that he no longer needed on Zane. The trail was getting hot and Marbury knew it. So he went to the mayor's office to turn suspicion on Zane until he himself had a chance to get out of town. Fern, start playing your line. The mayor's trout is biting.
All characters, names, places, and plots used in the Avenger program are fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental.
This is a thought. A thought. A thought. Remember, listen for another adventure of
The Avenger.
Which one? Iron Man? Who wouldn't tell us which one? I have no idea. Eerie House Radio tentatively presents Gar's Moral of the Story.
If your words can start a brush fire, it might be time for a dinner mint.
That was a double. You get a double for that one.
There you go.
That's right. Bonus soundbite. So that wraps up the Avenger.
If your award to start a brush fire. See, and that's a topical nod because some country just went aflame.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I believe dear old Canada is toasting right now, sadly.
Really? I was thinking Hawaii was like, yeah.
Maui. It's part of the U.S.
What's going on
in Canada?
That fire was about a 5 minute, and you might have seen or saw this on the news. We were married on Kaanapali Beach, about a 5 minute drive away from where that happened. Lahaina is very close to there.
Aww.
Yeah. Well, we got married on Maui back in 1988.
So you're saying this is your fault, Dale? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
They all left some matches under some of the clothes.
No. See, my wife's family, we used to go to Hawaii every couple of years, and they got to know people over there. And so my wife was actually very concerned when this broke out of one of her friends. But fortunately, she did get away from the fire.
Yeah.
So, yay!
It's weird in social media that people can inflame other people just by words and stuff. It's like, calm down. Oh. My gosh.
I don't know. Just people are overly excitable these days about stuff.
Thin-skinned. Yeah. Something. I don't know.
Just chill, man. Things will be all right.
I know.
The only constant in life is change. Enjoy the ride.
Change and dinner mints. Dinner mints are a plus. I tell you.
Dinner mints always help.
Dinner mints, you can't go wrong with a dinner mint. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, and we do have a chatter that keeps going back and forth, forth and back. That's Messenger Faith.
Messenger Faith. Maybe their faith is waning.
Oh.
Hello.
They're looking for that direct connect button.
I didn't
hear
on that.
Lies. Yeah, the
night. Come on, Mandolin, hook us up. Let's go.
Yeah. No kidding.
Mandolin, play us a tune.
This ain't a free service. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
There's a little something going on there on your side.
But she's very pleasant when she responds. Very pleasant.
Uh-huh.
That's good.
Yeah, I even tried a different browser.
No go. We'll find out more about that, I'm sure. We are going alphabetically with our alphabetic.
Our
show names.
Jeff Regan.
And,
right.
That's right. Jeff Regan would be next from starring
Jack Webb.
Yeah.
Yeah, another Jack Webb series. Just can't get enough of Jack Webb.
Yep, and this one I have kind of stuck on him, huh?
Yeah. Oh, radio was. He was all over the place. He was on Michael Shane. He was on Escape. He was on two other types of shows as well. He was on Jeff Regan Investigator, where he worked for the Eye of the Lion.
Shane, come back.
The Eye of the Lion, not the Eye of the Tiger.
No, the Eye of the Lion. That's part of the detective agency he's with in this particular show.
They couldn't afford a lion. Or a tiger. They couldn't afford a tiger, so they had a lion.
Tiger, yep.
Yes, indeed.
Oh, man.
So did King Ezekiel on Walking Dead. He had a tiger.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
For a while.
For a while.
You should never kill the animal actor, ever. That is just horrible.
No. Audiences don't go for that.
I don't know that I sobbed, but I definitely didn't feel good about it.
when so, like when Michael Myers goes slashing up teenagers, people are like, ooh, oh. But if it's a dog that gets hurt or a kitty, look out. The audience, no. Yeah. Now the perpetrator must die.
Yeah.
You're toast, man. You toast.
And, right, mm-hmm. and rightfully so. They don't get as much time on this earth than we do, so let them have as much as they can, you know? Come on.
No, think about how immortal that the dog actor for Toto was. I mean, immortalized forever. Great.
Yeah. Bunch of dogs.
And he kicked butt.
Yes, he did.
He chased all those big, huge guards. Oh, anyway. But
yeah.
We digress.
Maybe he had Go-Go Gadget a tail or something. I don't know. He's a superhero dog.
He was.
Yeah, he's a superhero. Kind of. Mm. Let's get back to our next episode. Jeff Reagan, Investigator. Title, The Man with the Key. Originally broadcast.
September 25th,
1948.
A.D. Jeff Reagan. I get 10 a day in expenses from a detective bureau run by a guy named Anthony J. Lyon. They call me the Lion's Eye.
With Jack Webb as Jeff Reagan, Investigator, stand by for hard-boiled action and mystery and thrilling adventure in tonight's story of The Man with the Key.
What about soft-boiled? Hard-boiled blocks me up.
A block above Wilton on Hollywood Boulevard, there's a street they call Taft. It isn't very long, about 48 palm trees and a couple of bad sewers. It figures that the guy who laid it was nearsighted. He didn't see the hill three blocks away. Got kind of a tired look, like an old lady who's been moving furniture. There's a dirty gray apartment house on the right-hand side of the street. That's my place. 308. A low ceiling and a leaky faucet. A telephone that rings at the wrong time. It was last Monday night, about 11 o'clock. I was in bed listening to the party next door when it rang. It was the Lion.
Regan, get your clothes on.
That the way you sleep?
You're going to be busy. We got a new client.
Now, tell me all about it in the morning.
Special messenger came to my place 15 minutes ago with a C note.
Any good?
It was from somebody named Dora King.
Who's that?
That's what you're going to find out.
I can see better in the daytime.
She's waiting for you right now.
Oh, yeah.
At a place on La Brea called The Southerner.
Should I take my banjo?
Don't be funny. She wants to talk to you, so get over there.
What does she want to talk about?
How would I know?
Well, don't you ever check into things?
That's what I pay you for.
All right, where's last week's salary?
You'll get it.
When?
As soon as I find out if your expenses were legit. Now get busy.
That all?
No, call me right after you've seen her.
Why?
I want to know what's what.
You mean you want to know if she can afford more than a C note?
You're getting out of line.
That's what they told Gypsy Rose Lee. Well, I got over there about 11:30. Turned out to be a small place, long on the shadows and short on the whiskey. There was a bald-headed guy playing a piano in one corner. I guess he'd been inside for a long time, because he'd never been out for a music lesson. The bartender was the only other guy in the joint. His name couldn't have been Dora King. So I went to work on a straight shot and waited. Two drinks later, a girl in a black dress walked in. She took in the piano player and the bartender and me. I won. She started toward me with a slow, easy kind of a walk, like a panther looking for breakfast. When she oozed onto the stool beside me, the bartender got damp all over. The air conditioning wasn't doing him any good.
What'll it be, miss?
Make it the same as here.
Okay, bourbon and water.
Got a match?
Yeah.
Got a cigarette?
Uh-huh.
Got a name?
Maybe.
I'll bet it's Regan.
All right, you got that much.
My name's Dora King. I'm sorry I'm late.
You ever on time when you meet a guy?
No.
Your money, you can spend it any way you want.
You always this nice to customers.
I don't get paid to be nice.
What do you get paid for?
You got a story?
I haven't had my drink yet.
Hey, you.
Coming up. I'm just propelled. Here you are, miss. Hey, hot night, ain't it?
You waiting for the weather to change?
It ain't gonna change in here, brother.
What's your first name?
Jeff.
I don't like it.
Neither do I.
I'm gonna call you Regan.
All right, let's start calling.
Have you got a license?
Covers up a hole in my wall.
Have you got something that says you're what you say you are?
Here.
The lion's eye. 6 feet, 170. Brown eyes. You fit?
Yeah, I got a mole on my left shoulder.
Let me see it. You pass.
Okay, you won the toss. Let's kick off.
Well, this isn't where we play. We'll go in my car.
Where?
You'll find out when you get there.
Maybe I won't like the field.
You trust me, don't you?
No.
Good.
Fill her up again.
We're just leaving.
Floor show starts in a couple of minutes.
That piano player going to be in it?
Yeah, he's my brother. He's going to play something he wrote himself.
Any good?
Stinks. Maybe you better go.
Well, the bartender was pouring himself four fingers of rye and about a fingernail of water when we walked out of there. We climbed into a big Nash convertible, parked in front of the place, and headed for Santa Monica Boulevard. Then we turned east, past Western, down to Vermont, and south to Marathon. All at once, we were climbing a hill on a dark street that gave us a view of the city. 20 years ago, a real estate broker might have had something, but now it was just an old neighborhood with a sad look, like a toe dancer with a short leg. Nobody said anything. I was beginning to have a feeling that maybe she'd forgot her compass when she slowed the car down. She pointed to a two-story house in the middle of the block, and I nodded. Then she shoved the car in second, and spun around the corner and came to a stop. I got out and walked around to let her out. She didn't move.
End of the line.
Short fare.
Time for you to go to work.
What kind of work?
The white place back there, 3936. You saw it?
It came through.
It's a boarding house.
I already got a room.
On the second floor, number 10. Knock twice.
Prohibition's dead, lady.
There's a man there. His name's Bender. Ben Bender.
It'll wake him up.
He's expecting you.
You're quitting?
My job's finished. You're the new help.
Well, what do I do?
He'll tell you.
That all?
One thing more. Come here.
Yeah. Part of my fee?
That's extra.
I don't generally get tipped.
Just for luck.
You act like I'm going to need lots of it.
You are.
When do I see you again?
You don't. Goodbye, gorgeous.
I stood there and watched her drive away. And then I noticed it. Somebody in a black coupe coasted around the corner, kicked into high gear at the bottom of the hill. I kept watching, but whoever it was hadn't read the traffic laws lately. He didn't use his lights for two blocks. Oh, it registered. He was on a tail job, and Dora was nice to tail. Marathon. Inside, it smelled like stale beer and rotting wood. Room number 10 was at the top of the stairs. The door was already open. A thin guy with a hungry look was sitting on the edge of the bed. He was all bones. He didn't get up when I came in. He just kind of looked at me, and his eyes were full of water. All of a sudden, he pulled a bandana out of his pocket and began coughing. You're sitting in a draft.
All my life. You Regan?
A girl with warm lips said I'd find you here.
Thanks for coming. Sit down. Hey, just got back from a trip.
Up north?
Yeah.
Sanitarium?
State said I needed a cure.
Did it take?
What do you think?
You're still coughing.
The doctor said I could go. You can give me a going-away present. $10 and a suit of clothes. It's a bum rap.
That's what they all say.
Who I am?
Ben Bender.
Big Ben Bender. Does that mean anything to you, Pilgrim?
Must have been before my time.
Yeah. How old do you think I am?
I'm out of practice.
You look 60. I'm 45. That's what 7 years in the sanitarium will do.
You ought to get a specialist.
Already got one.
What's his name?
You.
No, I'm only an intern.
You'll do.
All right, what do you want?
When the guy goes up there, he makes a lot of friends and a lot of enemies. Sometimes you can't tell one from the other.
Does it make any difference?
Big Ben don't trust nobody.
No, what about that girl?
Dora? Forget her. Her job's done.
That's what she said.
See this key?
Yeah.
I wear it around my neck. I worn it for 7 years. You'll wear it for the next 7 hours.
Why?
Them friends and enemies I was telling you about.
What does the key fit?
My safety deposit box at the American Security Bank. You meet me there. Tomorrow, at 10.
What if I oversleep?
Stay up all night. I'll pay for the no-dose. Just be there.
After that?
Then your job's finished. It's off this door you ever made.
Look, now you kept this key 7 years. Why can't you keep it for 7 more hours?
My business.
What's in the box?
My business.
Okay. Any of those friends or enemies drive a black coupe, white sidewalls?
I don't know. Why?
My business. I left him sitting there. He looked as happy as a sword swallower with the hiccups. Well, I put the key in my coat pocket, but it felt hot, like a dynamite stick with a short fuse. If Big Ben had been holding it for so long, somebody else might want it. Maybe somebody who drove that black coupe. Well, I went out the back entrance, walked down an alley, and doubled over 5 blocks to Vermont. I stopped a cab, and I had him take me over to the Lion's place. It was 2:30 in the morning when he opened the front door. He was wrapped in a bathrobe big enough to keep all the silkworms working overtime.
What do you want, Regan?
Information.
You've been drinking?
I've been working.
What kind of work?
Well, I got a key.
That all?
That's what they say.
Who's they?
A con named Bender.
Ben Bender?
That's right.
I thought he was doing a long run up in Quentin.
Well, he's out now.
Where does Dora King fit?
Taxi service. She took me to Bender. He gave me the key.
Let me see it.
All right, here.
Safety deposit box.
That's right. Nurse made to a hunk of metal until tomorrow at 10.
What then?
Well, I meet him at the American Security Bank and turn it over to him.
Well, do it.
Now, look, Big Shot, this key's hot.
What makes it hot?
Whatever's in that box.
What's that?
How should I know?
Find out. You got the key?
You got the client.
Now, just a minute.
Somebody waves a greenback at you and you think it's a rainbow.
That's enough.
Oh, stop it, will you? It's another bum client and you know it.
Let me worry about that.
If Ben held that key for 7 years and won't hold it now, he's scared.
What's he going to be scared of?
Somebody else who wants in on the
play. So what?
I'm holding the key. That makes me the clay pigeon.
You're getting paid for it. Just be there tomorrow at 10. Alive.
Well, I left the Lion and went out to the street. Nobody was there. I hailed a cab and he let me off in front of my place. Nobody was there. I opened the front door of my apartment. Nobody was there. It began to feel like a good bet for the Lonely Hearts Club. It was a good feeling. I sat up all that night waiting. Nothing happened. I felt about as popular as a bald-headed chorus girl. Nobody made a play. It was 5 minutes to 10 when I pulled into the parking lot next to the American Security Bank. The car next to me was a black coupe with white sidewalls. It could have been the same one that tailed us the night before. But then I figured there's a lot of cars in L.A. like that. But I leaned in and I looked at the registration. This one belonged to a guy named Al Spandy, who lived in Van Nuys. I wrote the address down and walked into the bank. The guard in a blue uniform waved me downstairs to the safety deposit boxes. It was 10, and still nothing happened. I began to feel kind of relieved, like a flagpole sitter when the wind died down. Big Ben hadn't showed yet. The only one there was a blonde sitting in a glass cage in front of the vault. She looked at me, and I began to wonder what she did on her days off.
Good morning. May I help you?
Yeah, I want to see if the rent on my box has been paid. Here's the key.
Mm-hmm. 60B. Just a minute. I'll take a look. 60B. 60B's all paid for.
Well, I guess my partner must have taken care of it.
This isn't a joint box. You're the only one who can get into it, Mr. Bender. Would you like to go in now?
No, I'm waiting for somebody.
We're all waiting for somebody.
I'm waiting for a man.
So am I.
Been waiting long?
Years.
Here?
Yes.
Better places to wait.
The ones with money keep coming here. My name's Claire.
I'll remember that.
Will you remember this? Granite 3408.
I'll try it on my phone.
When?
As soon as I get a spare nickel.
I'll give you one.
You'll run out of them that way.
Uh-uh. That's why I work in a bank.
Kind of hard on the depositors.
Your friend's late, isn't he?
I can wait.
Maybe he forgot. You should have tied a string around his finger.
No, lady. He already had one around his neck. Well, she went back to copping nickels, and I sat down in one of the plush chairs and waited. 10:30 came, 11 came, and it didn't. I began to get an uneasy feeling, like a bubble dancer with a slow leak. At 11:10, I couldn't take any more waiting, so I left to head for Benda's place. Outside the bank, a thin guy with a sharp head was hawking papers. I slipped him the nickel that the blonde had given me, and he handed me a Daily News. I wanted to see what a horse named Larry R. had done at Belmont. I didn't get beyond the first page. Benda's picture was there, right next to Governor Dewey's, only Ben wasn't running for office. They found him in his room, full of bullet holes. I guess he finally got a cure for that cough. I took my car out of the lot and headed for home. I mixed myself a tall one, and I was just getting to the bottom of it when a couple of guys kicked my door open.
Regan?
Yeah.
I'm Lieutenant Anderson, homicide. This is Sergeant Pennelly.
Hiya.
Don't you guys believe in knocking?
My knuckles are sore. Nice stuff.
Well, help yourself. It's out in the kitchen.
Don't drink on a job.
Pennelly?
Me neither.
You boys should have told me you were coming. I'd have called some girls.
Not on a job.
Pennelly?
I got a wife.
All right, Regan, find your hat.
What for?
Well, you want to look nice. We're going downtown, you and me and Pete. Right, Pete?
Right, Andy.
No, it's too hot there.
We thought of that. We'll give you a nice, cool place, won't we, Pete?
Sure will, Andy.
You got a warrant?
No, we just figured you might want to tell us why you did it.
Did what?
Tell him, Pete.
Knock off Ben Bender and burn his feet.
You're out of your mind.
Now, Regan, we know you saw Bender last night. We know you got out of a car on the corner and walked up to his place. We know you were the last one to see him while he was still alive.
You got a witness?
31. A girl told us.
Oh, you're trying real hard, Anderson, but you haven't got anything.
If you were the last one to see him alive, you're the first one to see him dead. That's how we figured.
Did you figure on a guy named Al Spandy who drives a black coupe?
I never heard of him.
And how about a dozen other hoods who knew Bender?
Now you're trying hard, Regan.
You haven't even got a foundation.
We got the whole building.
It'll never stand up.
We'll see.
All right, you tell me why I did it.
You private eyes get folders on bank jobs.
I get them from Charles Atlas, too.
Bender was in on an $80,000 heist 8 years ago. He went up for carrying a concealed weapon, but the money was never found. You know that the Imperial Bonding Company's offering $5,000 for the recovery of that dough.
A lion.
Don't make any dates tonight. You're not going to be available.
All right. The lion will tell you I was working on a case when I saw Bender.
Oh, we already talked to the lion.
Well, what did he say?
He says he hasn't seen you for 5 days.
You are listening to the story of the man with the key, tonight's adventure with Jeff Regan, investigator. Commissions are still available in the Army Nurse Corps Reserve. If you were a graduate registered nurse between the ages of 21 and 45, you may be eligible for a commission in the Army Nurse Corps section of the Regular Officers Reserve. These commissions are still available. And those who meet the high standards and qualify may elect active or inactive status. Those who request inactive status will continue with their civilian nursing duties but stand ready to serve in time of emergency. Nurses who elect active duty become commissioned officers in the regular Army. If you believe you qualify for a commission in the Army Nurse Corps Reserve, apply to the Adjutant General, Washington, D.C.
Woo-hoo! I'll do that.
Sign up now. Quick.
I'll be a nurse.
While supplies last.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
They put in so many one-liners.
That's how they get
Jeff Regan.
Sending free stuff while supplies last. Jeff Regan in danger.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Nope.
Yeah, I'm really liking this Jack Webb. This is, I don't know if this character is really better than.
Nope, this one's great.
And he's just so crisp. Yeah, he's really crisp and super snappy comebacks. I love it.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah.
We got more radio and less time. Let's wrap up the man with the key from the Reagan Investigator.
And now back to the story of the man with the key and Jeff Regan, Investigator.
And the ghost.
Well, I had about as much chance as a violin player with no chin. Anderson and Pennelly took me down and locked me in one of the rooms upstairs. They didn't ask any questions. I guess they figured they had enough answers. Oh, it was a real nice fix. A dame named Dora King takes me to a con named Ben Benda. He slips me a hot key and says, meet him in a bank at 10. I'm there on time, getting the phone number of a blonde named Claire, only Ben doesn't show. Somebody burns his feet and fogs him before he can keep the date. And then there's that black coupe registered to a question mark named Al Spandy. And then the lion deals one from the bottom. Oh, it was a screwy picture, and I was right in the middle of the frame. Well, I spent the next 4 hours taking in some free entertainment from the drunk in the next cell.
Okay, Regan, on your feet.
Bastille Day?
You sprung.
Well, I was getting tired of the floor show anyway.
Try and make it Saturday sometimes. That's our big night.
Hard if I bring a date? That guy ought to be at Ciro's.
Where do you think we picked him up?
Regan, I'm running out of patience with you. How many times have I told you to keep out of trouble?
Why didn't you tell him I was working on a case?
I went to a lot of trouble to get you out.
And you went to a lot of trouble to get me in.
That was easy. Still got that key to Bender's safety deposit box?
I got it.
Tomorrow morning at 10, you're at that bank getting into the box.
You're crazy. It's in Bender's name.
I'll teach you how to spell it.
I won't do it.
Homicide might like to know you got that key. Now you listen to me and we'll both make dough.
Where I'd be, I couldn't spend it.
If the 80,000 bucks from the bank job Bender pulled happens to be in that box, like I think it is, Imperial Bonding owes us $5,000 reward.
I don't like it.
You owe it to the company.
Now listen, you. Bender was knocked off for this key. Whoever wants it might make another try.
Nobody knows you got it.
Well, I'll give it to you and nobody will know you got it.
Regan, I'm giving you a chance to straighten yourself out.
That's right.
What do you mean?
I feel stiff already. Well, it was a triple play. Homicide to the lion to the black coupe. I went home to wash off some of the jailhouse Lysol. When I walked in the front door, I had company. A gray flannel suit with a yellow tie was sitting on the edge of my bed. Both hands were full. The whiskey was mine. The gun was his. When he saw me, he set down the bottle and walked over and put the gun right against my neck. It felt cold, and I got kind of nervous, like a hula dancer in a forest fire.
Hiya, Regan. Been waiting for you.
You like my liquor?
I'm a rye drinker myself.
I'll bring your own next time.
That ain't being sociable.
You weren't invited.
How could I have been? You don't even know me.
You're Al Spandy. You drive a black coupe.
What'd I have for breakfast?
Egg, and it's all over your tie.
You look hot, Regan.
You have to hold that gun there.
Right there.
Same one you used on Bender?
The same. All right, now gimme, Regan.
I told you, I don't have any rye.
Where's the key?
I don't use one. My door's always open.
I'm talking about that key you got from Bender.
I don't have it.
Do you hear any music?
Yeah, but I'll sit the next one out.
No, you won't. This is a men's cheat.
I'll step on your toes.
I don't mind. It's a polka, and I want to do it with you.
Oh, it was a long dance, but Spandy didn't get tired. I knew I wasn't going to last the evening out. And then I saw Dora King standing in the doorway facing Spandy. She was taking everything in like a Hoover vacuum cleaner on a dirty rug. She had a 25 in her hand and she knew how to use it. Thanks for cutting in, lady.
I had to do it. He was killing you.
Yeah, I'll take the gun, huh?
You know I had to do it.
Yeah. Here. Go on, drink it.
Yes.
You want to tell me all about it?
Yes. I wanted to tell you at first, but Ben wouldn't let me.
He's not around to stop you.
Do you think Spandy hurt him much before he killed him?
I wasn't there.
He was sick. He couldn't have taken much.
Why'd you tip the cops on me?
I thought you might have done it. Now I know different.
Tell that to Homicide.
I will.
You better. Spandy can't.
He's dead?
That's right.
You still don't trust me.
No, I don't.
I couldn't help myself once the gun went off. Big Ben was my father.
Yeah?
He didn't want anyone to know. All he wanted was to give me a break.
Why'd he hire me?
He was afraid.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Regan?
Yeah?
May I have the key?
I haven't got it.
You can get it.
Maybe. You know what's in that box?
I think so.
Or why don't I turn it over to the police?
That's my job. Like I told you, I'm Big Ben's daughter.
Yeah, lady. You convinced Spandy. Well, I called Homicide, and Anderson and Pinelli handled it. We all wound up downtown. It didn't take them long to find out that the gun Spandy used on me was the same one that killed Big Ben. Dora gave Anderson her story. He said it would take some fixing, but he could keep her out of the papers. It was justifiable homicide. She wouldn't even be indicted, but they had to hold her overnight. Well, it was almost daylight when I pulled to a stop in front of my apartment. I was beginning to feel a little better, but didn't last long. When I walked into my place, it looked like the L.A. Dons had been having a scrimmage. Every corner had been gone over. Oh, it didn't make sense. Bender was dead, Spandy was dead, Dora King was downtown, but somebody still wanted that key. Well, I crawled into what was left of my bed and set the alarm for 9:30. I didn't sleep much. I kept seeing keys and faces and $80,000 bills. At 10 o'clock the next morning, Granite 3408 was still sitting behind the same desk near the same safety deposit vault. She gave me the same look.
I waited for you to call last night.
I spent the nickel.
On a doctor?
I'd like to get into my box.
All right, Mr. Bender, sign here.
All right. Looks like part of the new freeway.
One thing about a vault. Quiet.
So's a tomb.
Live alone. Well?
All right, sunshine. Open your eyes. My box number is 60B.
That can wait. I can't.
Easy, baby. You'll set off the alarm.
You and I can make a great team, Bender.
You know my name's not Bender.
What is it?
Regan.
You and I can make a great team, Regan.
Is that what you told Al Spandy?
Why bring up a dead issue?
What's your deal?
You got Bender's key. I got the bank's key. You need both of them to open up the box.
It's good so far. Go on.
Well, there's $80,000 there. Let's not let it go to waste.
Big Ben waited 7 years to open that box. Look what happened to him.
I waited just as long as Ben. 7 years is harder on a girl.
How'd you work it?
Ben and I had a great plan. I was the cashier Ben heisted. Only I just gave him a bag full of paper. The real dough's in his box.
Well, that's the safest way. Keep your money in a bank.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When it cooled off, both of you go in and pick up the dough together.
That's the way it was supposed to work, only Ben was dumb enough to get himself picked up and tucked away for 7 years.
Oh, you made real good partners. Nobody trusted anybody.
I trust you.
That why you went through my place looking for the key last night?
Well, girl's got to use her head. Besides, you might have been home.
Ben and Spandy are dead.
We don't have to worry about either of them. The money's still here. We got the keys that'll open the box. Can you add that?
Yeah.
What's the answer?
About 20 years.
What do you mean?
That bonding company will see that you get the full load for grand larceny.
You wouldn't turn me in.
Don't make book on that.
You and I'd make a great team, Regan. We can't lose.
That's what USC thought. Well, I called Anderson and Pinelli, and they came out and picked her up. I rode down as far as the office with him. That wrapped it up. When I told the lion what had happened, he was as happy as a college boy in a harem. He got on the phone right away and called up Imperial Bonding, told him to make out that reward check for 5 G's to Anthony J. Lyon. But he was real good about it. He took me for a ride in his new Nash convertible. Well, I guess he deserved it. He was really the patsy that had done all the heavy work ever since he bailed me out of jail. Because that's when I slipped Bender's key in his pocket.
Jack Webb is featured as Jeff Regan, with Herb Butterfield as Anthony J. Lyon. Jeff Regan, Investigator, written by E. Jack Newman and Larry Roman, produced by Sterling Tracy, is heard each week at this time over CBS. Tonight's cast included Ken Christie, Yvonne Patey, Marvin Miller, Paul Fries, and June Martell. If you are a graduate registered nurse, please listen carefully to this important message. 29,000 nurses are needed to join the new Army Nurse Corps Officers Reserve. All nurses who receive reserve commissions will benefit from the opportunity for specialized training offered to them by the Army. Inactive reserve status will not interfere with a nurse's civilian life, but the educational opportunities offered her by the Army Medical Department will be of great advantage. For further information, drop a card to the Adjutant General, Washington, D.C. Original music for this program is by Dick Arant. Bob Stevenson speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Erie House Radio proudly presents Gar's Moral of the Story.
If you squeeze a grape, don't expect lemonade, unless you've got some mighty strange grapes.
There you go. Yes, we got about 30 minutes of radio and 37 minutes of airtime. We probably ought to keep cranking along, leave a little shameless promotion time here at the end. We got the Whistler coming up next. Yep. This one's entitled Lady with a Key. And it was originally broadcast. Tell them.
April 2nd, 1950.
Oh, Lady with a Key.
And now
lady.
Stay tuned for the mystery program that is unique among all mystery programs. Because even when you know who's guilty, you always receive a startling surprise at the final curtain. In the Signal Oil program, The Whistler.
Hey, that's Marvin Miller again.
S-I-T-N-A-L.
Signal
Gasoline. Signal, the famous Go-Farther gasoline, invites you to sit back and enjoy another strange story by The Whistler. For extra driving pleasure, the signal to look for is the yellow and black circle sign that identifies signal service stations from Canada to Mexico. And for Sunday evening listening pleasure, the signal to listen for is this whistle that identifies the Signal Oil program, The Whistler.
I am the Whistler, and I know many things, for I walk by night. I know many strange tales hidden in the hearts of men and women who have stepped into the shadows. Yes, I know the nameless terrors of which they dare not speak.
And now for the Signal Oil Company, the Whistler's strange story, Lady with a Key.
It It was almost midnight when Joe Cannon drove his car into the parking lot, got out and walked around to the entrance of the Linden, a small restaurant and cocktail bar on the highway a few miles south of Los Angeles. The Linden was a place he often patronized, especially when he had a deal on. Most of Joe's enterprises were arranged in cocktail bars, restaurants, almost anywhere but a legitimate business office. For Joe was seldom involved in a legitimate deal. Inside, Joe nodded at the bartender, then strolled over to the jukebox.
Hi, Joe. You haven't been around lately.
I've been pretty busy, Pete.
Well, what'll it be?
A bottle of beer and a sandwich, you name it.
Right.
Hey, hurry up, will you? I'm on my way to San Diego.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Let a smile da da do do on a rainy, rainy day.
Pardon me.
Yeah?
Well, I couldn't help overhearing you tell the bartender that you're on your way to San Diego.
Uh-huh.
Well, you see, I was on my way there when my car broke down.
Oh.
I can't get it till tomorrow, and I just have to be in San Diego by morning, and I was wondering if...
Will I take you with me?
Oh, would you please?
Uh-oh. I'm sorry. My trip has to do with business. My boss wouldn't like it if I mixed business with pleasure.
Oh, but please... It's awfully important to me.
Oh, I wish I could help you, baby, but I can't.
Oh, I see. Well, I'm sorry.
So am I.
Oh, it's okay. Forget it.
The girl walks away, walks to a booth at the back of the bar. She's attractive, isn't she, Joe? And the mink coat she's wearing is the real thing. You're almost certain of that. Yet you have a feeling there's something phony about her. That she had some reason other than a stalled automobile for asking you to drive her to San Diego. You'll listen to the tune on the jukebox for a moment, then walk up to the bar. As you slide onto a stool, Pete, the bartender, places the sandwich and the bottle of beer before you.
Cute dish, huh?
What?
The name.
Oh.
She asked you for a ride south?
How'd you know?
She already asked that couple back there, the one in the booth next to hers.
Mm-hmm.
They turned her down. You turn it down?
Yeah. I don't like her story.
I don't know. I think she's on the level. She used the phone a little while before you came in, talked to a couple all-night garages.
That's all?
For me, she'd be very pleasant company, Joe.
Hey, you know something?
Huh?
Maybe I was too hard on the little girl, huh?
That drive to San Diego, 3 hours, can get awful dull.
Sure. Hey, I'll be right back, Pete. Pardon me, miss.
What?
I changed my mind. I'll take you to San Diego if you still want to go.
Oh, I certainly do. It means a great deal to me. Can we start right away?
As soon as I finish my sandwich and clear up a little business with the bartender. Would you like a drink or something?
Oh, no, thank you.
Oh.
If you don't mind, I'll wait in your car.
Oh, sure. It's in the lot. Far side, Black 49 Nash. I'll be out in a few minutes.
You watch the girl as she hurries out, then turning, you catch a glimpse of the couple seated in the next booth, a young man, a woman, grinning at you. You shrug, walk back to the bar, and finish your sandwich. Then the bartender joins you.
You, taking the dame?
Yeah. Oh, here you are, Pete.
Thanks. When'll you be back?
Tomorrow night.
Imports?
Mm-hmm. From Tijuana. I'm picking this stuff up in San Diego tomorrow morning.
Yeah, I figured another shipment was about due. Handling it same as always?
Yeah. Now, look, you can tell Harry I'll meet him here with it tomorrow night. Okay?
Okay.
Usual cut?
Well, I haven't kicked yet, have I? Like I was telling...
I know.
Hey, bartender.
Huh?
I'm looking for a girl. Blonde. Sort of tall. Wearing a mink coat. You see her in here?
No, I haven't seen her.
Hmm. How about you, mister?
No.
Okay. Thanks.
He must be looking for your girlfriend, Joe.
How come you told him she wasn't here?
I don't know. Maybe I just don't like his looks.
Yeah. Well, I had a hunch about that dame. I think I'm going to play it safe. cancel her ride to San Diego.
Yeah, maybe you better.
I'll see you tomorrow night, huh, Pete?
What time will I tell Harry?
Oh, I should be back here by 9, if the stuff is ready to pick up.
Yeah.
Now, look, let me use your phone, will you? I better call San Diego now and make sure the stuff came in from Tijuana.
In a matter of minutes, you've completed your call to San Diego. Then you step out into the parking lot. And as you walk toward your car, you hear footsteps. Catch a quick glimpse of a running figure. By the time you reach your car, he's disappeared into the shadows. You open your car door and get in. The girl isn't there. Suddenly you catch sight of something on the seat beside you. You recognize it instantly as the girl's handbag. It's open. And one glance tells you it's full of bills, 50s, 100s.
1, 2, 3, 5, 6. Oh, brother.
You don't wait to count it all, do you, Joe? This is more money than you've had in a long time. You want to get away before the girl returns. Miles later, along the beach road, you stop, remove the bills, toss the girl's handbag into the sea. You finish counting the money. $5,000, Joe. Quickly, you slip it into your inside coat pocket. Hurry back to the car. The night air is chilly, so you decide to get your overcoat from the back seat. As you open the car door, reach inside. Your hand freezes in midair. Sudden terror grips you as you stare down at the floor.
A girl. She's dead.
Tonight's $20 Signal gasoline book goes to Nancy Mason of Los Angeles, California, for this limerick. Now all gather round while I tell why the gas that I use is so swell. Takes you farther for less. The brand, you can guess. It's spelled S-I-G-N-A-L.
Signal, signal, signal gasoline. Your car will go far with go farther gasoline.
Tonight's limerick writer certainly won the spelling bee when she said S-I-G-N-A-L is the gas for mileage that's swell. But in addition, you can expect performance that's grand, because performance and mileage go hand in hand. Both are the result of the extra efficiency today's great Signal gasoline extracts from your motor. So there's no need nowadays to choose between economy and driving pleasure. You'll be thankful for both when you get a tankful of Signal, the famous Go Farther gasoline.
The events of the past few hours seem like a nightmare, don't they, Joe? Your meeting with the girl in the cocktail lounge, her sudden disappearance, leaving her handbag containing $5,000 in your car. Then, a few minutes ago, you found her, dead on the floor in the back of your car. For a moment, you're too stunned to move, to think clearly. And then quickly, you jump into your car, race down the highway. Several miles later, the panic begins to leave you, and you realize you must dispose of the body as soon as possible. Your hands suddenly grip the wheel in terror. The police, Joe. Automatically, you press down on the accelerator, and then you realize your mistake. You slow down.
Kind of hitting it up back there, weren't you?
Why?
You in a big hurry?
Oh, well, I guess I was driving a little fast, huh?
Oh, I ought to give you a ticket, mister.
Well, it's late. There's hardly any traffic. I guess I was speeding without realizing it.
Uh-huh. Well, I'll let it go this time.
Oh, thanks.
Just a minute.
What's the matter?
You heading for Mexico?
No, San Diego.
You sure? Let me see your license.
Okay.
You struggle to remain calm. Keep your hands from shaking as you turn your wallet over to the officer. Hope that he doesn't look into the back seat of your car. You wait for what seems hours before he returns the wallet to you.
Well, okay, go ahead. But take it easy from now on and watch that speedometer. I'd hate to find your car up the road with a dead body in it.
You watch the police car disappear into the darkness and you heave a sigh of relief. That was close, wasn't it, Joe? You mop your forehead as you drive on down the highway. When you find the spot you're looking for, you pull over to the side of the road, carry the girl's body into the brush, and leave it. Then you're on the highway again. And for the first time since you found the girl, you feel safe. You reach over, open the glove compartment to get a pack of cigarettes. Your hand comes to rest on an envelope. You take it out, see the name Ann Whitney written on it. Finger the bulky contents and decide it's a hotel key. You're puzzled, aren't you, Joe? Curious, too. But you realize you can't take any more chances. You crumple the envelope in your hand, toss it out the car window. Drive on to your hotel in San Diego.
Have a reservation, sir?
Yeah, I phoned from Los Angeles. Cannon's the name, Joe Cannon.
Oh, yes, Mr. Cannon. I've put you in room 301.
Oh.
Nice room. I'm sure you'll like it. If you'll sign the register,
okay.
Please.
Okay. Say, it's a quiet room, isn't it? I can use some sleep.
Oh, it is quiet, sir. Had a tiring trip?
You can say that again.
I know. Night driving tires me out completely. And that trip from Los Angeles down here, well, it's so dull. At least I find it so, don't you?
Dull? And not always, no.
You sleep until afternoon, then awake completely refreshed, unworried. You dress, go downstairs, buy a newspaper. It's all there, isn't it, Joe? The story of the murder, the finding of the dead girl's body by the highway, strangled to death. Her name, Mary Cartney. You wander into the hotel coffee shop, take a table in the corner, read on.
According to Giles Winthrop, well-known Los Angeles art dealer, Miss Cartney had been his secretary for the past year. Mr. Winthrop also informed police that Miss Cartney had left his office 2 days ago and failed to return. Last night he had discovered she had taken $5,000 from his office safe. Well,
pardon me?
Huh?
His feet taken?
No, it's all yours, I...
You stare at the short, heavy-set man who slides into the seat across the table from you. It's the same man who came into the bar last night in Los Angeles. The one who asked you if you'd seen the tall blonde in the mink coat. The murdered girl the papers have identified as Mary Cartney.
You banked that $5,000 yet, chum?
I don't believe I follow you.
Sure you do, chum. Don't try to tell me you haven't got the dough. I saw you pick up the dame's handbag. She left it in your car.
Now, look, beat it, will you? I don't know what you're talking
about.
Reading
all about it in the papers, huh? You see where they got your description?
My description?
Yeah? Here, allow me. I'll see your paper. Yeah. Police report no trace of the money was found on the girl's body. Oh, here it is. Mr. and Mrs. Alton Grinby, 1134 Park Drive, Long Beach. Identified Miss Cartney from newspaper photographs as the same woman who asked them for a ride last night in a bar on the outskirts of Los Angeles. They informed police they'd overheard Miss Cartney accept a man's offer to drive her to San Diego. The man is described as dark-haired, about 30 years old, attired in a light sport coat and gray trousers. Heard enough, chum? There's a little more.
I've heard enough.
I'd say you were in kind of a tough spot, huh? Now, why don't you come along with me, see, up to my room where we can talk this over, chum?
Why should I?
You wouldn't want me to tip off the cops, would you? Okay, let's go upstairs.
You'd forgotten about the couple sitting in the back booth of the bar last night, hadn't you, Joe? And now this man sitting across from you wants to talk something over. You follow after him as he leaves the coffee shop. You're certain he's Mary Cartney's murderer, that he was the man you saw running away from your car last night while it was parked in the lot next to the Linden Bar, that your sudden appearance prevented him from getting the handbag containing the $5,000. You slip the newspaper back into your pocket without finishing the article. Upstairs in the man's room, he takes a gun from his pocket, places it on the table within easy reach.
Okay, chum. Let's get down to business. I know you got the $5,000. You can keep it. That's chicken feed. What I'm interested in is the package.
Package? Look, what package?
Mary Cotney had it with her. A painting. An original Donetti. It's worth $100,000.
I don't know a thing about it. I never even heard of it.
Liz, I'll get back to you in a minute, chum. It's a call I've been expecting. While I'm taking it, you better remember where you put that painting. Hello. Yeah. Oh, yeah, Mr. Roberts. Yeah, this is Merkel. Sure, sure. Everything is set. I'll have the painting. I promised you I'd get it, didn't I?
The interruption gives you time to think, doesn't it, Joe? And suddenly you remember something. The envelope with the name Ann Whitney written on it. The envelope you found in the glove compartment of your car. You're certain it contained a hotel key. You wonder why the dead girl, Mary Cotney, was mailing it to an accomplice named Ann Whitney. Whether the key has any connection with the valuable painting.
Sure, Mr. Roberts, sure. Tomorrow morning at 10. Oh, look, since we've never met, you better pick the painting up here at my hotel room. It's a lot simpler that way. Okay. See you tomorrow. Now, chum, let's get back to you, huh?
I told you before, I don't know anything about a painting, but...
Yeah?
But I did find an envelope in the car.
Hand it over.
I didn't want any evidence around after I got rid of the girl's body, so I threw the envelope away.
And you didn't even open
it? It was a hotel key. I couldn't be mistaken. I could feel the key, the tab.
But you tossed it away.
I can find it again. I knew where I threw it.
All right, chum. Let's go. I hope for your sake you find that key.
An abrupt ending to part one, The Whistler. He's
going to find the key. Going to find the key, buddy.
That's right.
Where's the key? Where's the key?
Thankfully, this episode has quite a few twists and turns in it.
That
it does.
You.
I thought he was after the money, and it's like, no, man, there's the painting. It's like, what? Where'd the painting come from? The heck? Oh, it's like, what?
It was in her purse, too. You know what? That's a great deal.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It was a Matchbox painting. I don't know.
I've heard of Matchbox cars.
I know. Yeah.
Wow. That must have been a huge purse. I thought I carried a big bag. Wow.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, crazy.
I was going to ask you guys, my very first house, okay, we had skeleton keys on the doors. You ever have a house or live in a house that had skeleton keys still?
My grandfather gave me a skeleton key, and I was like, wow, this is so cool.
Now, the deadbolts had been installed later on, but, like,
right.
Even in – there were locks to the rooms within the house, you know what I mean? You could lock yourself out of a room
if you were so inclined
or so
– You were so inclined.
Mindless.
Wow.
When bedroom privacy was at an all-time high, yeah. A lock on every room. Yeah.
Very Victorian.
Very. Oh man! One thing I really enjoy about the Facebook is they have a Victorian house group that constantly shows pictures of American Victorian housing.
Those homes are beautiful. They're incredible.
A lot of exposed wood. I don't know why, but a lot of exposed wood. And I love it. I'm like, oh, yeah, it's just like, oh.
We had, my house had, that same house had chair rails. You know what a chair rail
is?
Yes.
No, what is that?
Crown mold. A chair rail is a slat of wood that runs like, it's halfway up your wall or the height of a chair. So you didn't shove your chair through the plaster wall when you got up from the table.
It's just a slat of wood. Sometimes it's got grooves or some type of mortising to it, but for the most part, about 3 feet off of the floor and just wraps around, probably in a dining area or a mm-hmm. place where chairs are going to be.
Our dining room had it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Chair rails and crown moldings. Crown moldings.
Crown
moldings.
Yes. You never hang a picture. You put a hook on the crown molding up by the ceiling, and there's a wire that comes from. Yeah.
Now that we didn't do, but it was nice crown molding. Very nifty.
It's not very good when you try to take a hammer and nail to plaster.
Oh. Or worse yet.
Work.
Or worse yet. A real quick story, and then back to wrap up the radio program.
Yeah.
I tried putting in a plug in the wall and had no experience with plaster, so I go in there with the reciprocating saw, and I'm going into the plaster, and all of a sudden I hit the wooden slats. Shaking like a cartoon character, you know?
Yeah. Maybe I should have called the electrician.
I ended up getting it done. It just was interesting at first.
Yeah.
Exciting. Mm-hmm. Adventurous.
Did you have to buy some plaster and patch it?
No. I cut it out good enough so that the socket plate covered any horrible
misfits.
Fit
right in.
Yeah.
There you go. Well,
and,
Johnny has the keys.
All right, I'll let you figure out what movie that is from while we wrap up our radio program. The Whistler, lady.
Johnny Weissmuller?
No.
And so once more, Joe, you're on the highway, this time driving north, back toward the place where you tossed the envelope out your car window. And a plan is beginning to take shape in your mind. You glance at the man sitting beside you, then down at the gun in his hands, pointed directly at you. He's not taking any chances, is he?
Just drive carefully, chum. And in the right direction.
Sure. Say, you don't mind clearing up something for me, do you?
What?
Why'd you kill Mary Cartney? Why didn't you wait till she turned the painting over before you...
I didn't intend to kill her. I was only trying to scare her, but I guess I pressed just a little too hard.
She was double-crossing you,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, she grabbed the painting and ducked out on me. She was going to contact Roberts herself and cut me out of my share of the 50 grand.
50 grand?
That's right. And now that I've filled you in on the details, let's keep the conversation at a minimum, huh?
Sure. Suits me.
Yes, it suits you, doesn't it, Joe? You want the time to think things out. Shortly before nightfall, you're within a few miles from the place where you dropped the envelope. And then up ahead, you see a side road. You slow down. You turn your car into it.
I thought you said you tossed that envelope off the highway.
I did. It's not far from here. I thought we'd better park the car somewhere along here under the trees while we look for it.
All right. Stop the car.
Sure.
Sure!
As you slam on the brakes, the sudden stop throws him against the windshield. An old trick, Joe, but it works. The jar stuns him for an instant. The gun in his hand clatters to the floor. Quickly, you scoop it up.
Okay, get out and start walking. I said start walking. Over there, under the trees.
Now, look, chum. Look, let's talk this over, huh?
Nothing to talk about. Keep moving.
I'll cut you another 50 grand. We'll split it.
I want the whole 50 grand for myself.
You'll never get away with it.
That's where you're wrong. I heard you tell this guy Roberts over the phone to drop into your hotel room tomorrow.
So what?
So he doesn't know what you look like. I'll be there when he shows up. I'll turn the painting over and
How do you know you'll find the painting?
The key, Buster. That hotel key I threw away last night. I've got a hunch it'll lead me right to it. All right, this is far enough.
Yeah. All right, So what do you gain by bumping me off?
You're too dangerous to be floating around on the loose. You know too much about me. You might tip off the cops. Sorry, chum.
You wipe the gun free of fingerprints, drop it on the ground next to the body, and hurry to your car. You drive back to the highway, find the spot where you dropped the envelope, and park. You've got to find it, Joe, before nightfall. And that doesn't give you much time. You look around, walk up the side of the road for several hundred feet, and then you see it, the envelope addressed to Ann Whitney. You rip it open. It is a hotel key, Joe, and you're sure what you read on the tab gives you the answer to everything.
Room 711. City Hotel, Los Angeles.
Early that evening, you stroll into the lobby of the City Hotel in Los Angeles, buy a paper, and drop into a chair near the stairway. You glance at the familiar headlines of the Mary Cartney murder, and then sit back and pretend to read. But you don't read beyond the headlines, do you, Joe? Instead, you're on the alert. Your eyes sweep the lobby from one end to the other. You've got to play it safe. You smile as you pick out the house detective lounging against the desk. You're certain the murder of Mary Cartney is the least of his worries. You've got to be sure of one thing before you go upstairs, that room 711 is really Ann Whitney's room. You hurry out of the lobby and into the drugstore on the corner, where you make a phone call.
City Hotel.
I'd like to speak with Miss Ann Whitney, please. Room 711.
Just one moment, please.
Hmm.
Well, I'm sorry, sir. She doesn't answer. Do you wish a page?
No, thanks.
Well, do you wish to leave a message?
No. Tell me, do you have any idea when she'll be in?
Oh, she didn't leave any word. I'm sorry.
I'm not sorry, baby. One bit. If you had to wear heavy winter clothes right on through spring, you wouldn't feel very peppy, would you? Well, that's just how your car feels about tired old winter motor oil and gear lube now that spring is here. Yes, if you want to put spring into your driving, it's high time you were treating your car to a spring changeover at a Signal service station. First step is to drain your motor and refill with Signal Premium Compounded Motor Oil, the extra-duty Signal oil that does so much more than just lubricate. Next step is fresh Signal gear lube for transmission and differential, and a Signal double-check lubrication for the chassis. At the same time, your Signal dealer will be glad to check those other points that need attention every 5 or 10,000 miles, such as front wheel bearings, oil filter, or air cleaner. Say, a car just can't help feeling peppier after a spring tonic like this. So for extra driving pleasure all summer, see your Signal dealer this week for a Signal spring changeover.
It's working perfectly, isn't it, Joe? And you're certain the key in your pocket, the key to Ann Whitney's room, will lead you to the painting worth $50,000. And you won't have to share any of it with Mary Cartney's murderer. He's dead. You've killed him. And you're sure no one can connect you with his death. And now you've only to pick up the painting, return to San Diego, turn it over to Mr. Roberts, and receive the money. You stroll back to the hotel casually. Miss Whitney isn't in her room, the hotel operator said. But you're in no hurry, are you? You know she'll never return, because she's dead. It's all clear, isn't it, Joe? You're certain that when Mary Cartney decided to double-cross her partner, Merkel, she registered as Ann Whitney and hid the painting in hotel room 711. You move across the hotel lobby, then up the stairs. Finally, at the door to room 711, you slip the key into the lock. You turn it. Step inside. Everything is going perfectly, isn't it, Joe? It should take only a few moments to find the painting. You turn on the lights.
This painting what you came for, fella?
Who are you?
Lieutenant Strom on homicide. This is Sergeant Andrews.
Oh, well, there must be some mistake.
Where'd
you
get this key?
Well, I found it.
You made a bad move coming here. You know, been waiting for someone to show up.
Waiting? I don't know what you mean.
A girl named Mary Cartney was murdered last night. The hotel clerk here identified her as the girl who checked into this room several days ago, under the name of Ann Whitney.
Oh, now, look, I don't know what this is all about.
The clerk also told us the girl took the key to this room with her when she left. When we found this stolen painting here, we had a hunch that Mary Cartney's killer would have her key to 7-Eleven. And our hunch was right. He did.
Wait a minute. I told you I found that
You're
key.
You're under arrest for the murder of Mary Courtney.
But I didn't kill Mary Courtney. I'm trying
Frisky,
to...
Frisky him, Andrews.
Hey, now, wait a minute. Will you...
Well, this is a lot of money to be carrying around.
Now, let's see that money, Andrews. Mm-hmm. Well, this clinches it. You killed Mary Courtney.
No, I didn't.
Oh, yes, you did. The serial numbers of these bills, check.
Serial numbers?
That's right. Mr. Winthrop furnished us with the serial numbers of the bills Mary Courtney stole from him. It tells all about it right on the front page of that newspaper you're carrying. You should have read it before you walked in on us. Come on, let's go.
Let that whistle be your signal for the Signal Oil program, The Whistler, each Sunday night at the same time. Brought to you by the Signal Oil Company, marketers of Signal gasoline and motor oil, and fine automotive accessories. To all you friends who have been sending in limericks, Signal has asked me to say, thanks for the spirit in which you've played the game. Next Sunday is the last time limericks will be used on The Whistler, because Signal will soon announce something new and important that you'll all be interested in. Featured in tonight's story were Gerald Moore, Francis Robinson, and Larry Dobkin. The Whistler was produced and directed by George W. Allen, with story by Edward Bloodworth, music by Wilbur Hatch, and was transmitted to our troops overseas by the Armed Forces Radio Service. The Whistler is entirely fictional, and all characters portrayed on The Whistler are also fictional. Any similarity of names or resemblance to persons living or dead is purely coincidental.
What do you mean it's not
Remember,
real?
At the same time next Sunday, another strange
tale
by The Whistler.
S-I-T-N-A-L.
Signal.
Signal gasoline.
Mark.
There you go, Signal Gasoline, you whistling, wild, weird partners of mine. Once again, Erie House Radio is proud, for once, to present Gar's Moral of the Story.
We are proud to present, there you go. Proud present to our smallest up here. It's important to realize the dangers. As Icarus flew too high, it's also not good to fly too low.
Yeah, you can get sucked right in. All right. Tomorrow night. Hey. Tomorrow night. Campbell Playhouse. That's right. The Glass Key. That's tomorrow.
Yep.
And that's one more little key for you. And then... Yeah, right after that, 8 o'clock. I'm guessing a vault, Gar?
No, I'm gonna try a live program, and it'll just be
cool.
Me and my crappy voice, if I can do it. If I can do it.
Paste together sound bites from your old shows and then lip-sync it.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I'm not good with scripts, so I don't know if it would work, but yeah, it'd be something to do.
There's a way to do anything if you try.
Yeah.
Want to thank our listeners, Duck, Northwest Media, Fuzzbane, and good old Robert.
Good old Bob. Bring it all back.
And all those in the archive. All those in the archive, yes.
And all over the World Wide Web.
There you go.
That's right. We're here every weekend and sometimes on Saturdays. We'll be here tomorrow. No problem. It does appear they fixed it, so we'll see you then.
What's on Monday? Nights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him. When next we meet Frankenstone.
Vincent, watch it.
Don't come alone.
Can you dig it?
Okay. May we dig it?
And for that, Monday's the makeup show, Hitchhiking. some stuff.
All right. Looks perfect on this thing.
Yeah. Found it all right.
Even a blind squirrel can find a nut. Whatever that
is. I don't think he can say that anymore. My voice is shot already. Wow.
Oh, wow.
I can't even hit the high note.
Yep.
Nope. You sound like a sick camel.
My dog mooed. He mooed this afternoon. He was taking a nap, and all of a sudden this came out of him. It was like, what the hell? He wanted. So he bleats like a sheep. He can moo. And he's creating some sort of collie language of robble, 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 robble.
We love that. I'm waiting for him to start. Polly want a cracker, damn it. You know,
no, I don't think he'll master speech, but he's quite. Collies tend to be vocal.
Oh my gosh!
This world would be so different if animals had speech. I tell you, it'd be great.
Maybe not. Then tell us the truth.
Oh yeah.
Tell us the truth anyway.
Dogs are incapable of lying. They give themselves away.
Yeah.
I know, because the cat blames on the dog and said, okay, I guess I did, you know.
Yeah, the crazy thing about... Oh, okay. It was
you
got to
fly
from your GW.
It was fabulous hearing you. Fabulous.
I'm sure, yeah.
It was. What are you talking about?
I think that was one-sided. I'm still here.
It's not one-sided. But, we love you, brother.
I don't have a voice for radio.
I got the face for it. Yuck, 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 yuck.
Yeah, I don't have the face nor the voice for it. I don't know. I'm trying. I'll keep trying. I hope this gets better.
You'll be back.
I'm sure it will. No doubt.
We know it.
Oh, shall I do my last duty of the evening?
If everybody's ready to wrap it up.
Let's voice
up
for tomorrow. Yes.
Okay. Oh, Mr. Durante, we are waiting.
Good night. Good night. Good night.
Night.
It's time to say good night.
Bye, 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 bye.
I said good night.
Good night. Good night. What more to say but
pickle,
good
pickle,
night.
Pickle, pickle, pickle.
You can say good night again.
We've had a few laughs. And it's time for toodaloo.
Toodaloo.
Army full up, we the same. And
inka-dinka-doo.
Good night.
Good night. Good night already.
Good night, all.
Good night.
Good night, folks.
Night, all.
And good night, Mrs. Calabash.
Calabash.
Wherever
you are.
From the West Bank.
Be sure and tell them Large Marge sent you.
Oh my God.